Howdy and welcome to another edition of the DVD Marquee. This is Shane MacDonald, and joining me is
Jeff Reynolds.
And we're not going to waste any time doing our typical bad movie intros that we've been doing the last couple of shows. We're going to pop right in and start talking The Da Vinci Code, coming from Sony Pictures.
The Mona Lisa.
Professor, the Mona Lisa is right over here.
Her smile is in the lower spatial frequencies. The horizon is significantly lower on the left than it is on the right.
Why?
Well, see, she appears larger from the left than on the right. Historically, the left was female, the right was male.
There, blood.
Hey.
So dark, the con of man.
No, it doesn't say that.
We have the two-disc full screen edition, which apparently they sent out to all the reviewers.
I would have preferred the widescreen, but hey, I can deal.
I can deal too. You know, it doesn't look that bad, but meh, that's not the way it was filmed. That's my only negative I'm going to say about the video and audio presentation in this.
Absolutely. I was really surprised at how good this DVD looks. It does mostly take place, I should say, in the dark in the evening. So. Overnight. So yeah. It is really, really clear. Not a lot of artifacts I found.
No, it's really well presented on DVD, even though it's the full screen version, and the audio suits this film.
It certainly does. Not too overactive unless it gets into the action scenes. You do get some rear play, but everything sounds and looks balanced and beautiful.
Now, we're covering this a little back asswards this time. We're going to go into the extras, and then we're going to go into the movie, because Jeff and I have various opinions on the movie, which should be an interesting little debate, but we're going to try to keep it short and brief and not inundate you with boredom.
Yeah, and one of my things is that, Shane, we got to try and keep it within the realm of the movie, okay?
All right. So this is two-disc. There's no real extras on the first disc. There's a making of.
Yes. Yeah, there is a short making of on the first disc because they are releasing a single disc version. So I'm assuming that's just a little something for you folks who will pick up the single disc.
Yeah, it's just a little tease and makes you want to run out and pick up the second disc. But I wasn't all that impressed with the extras on this DVD.
No, you know what? The second disc was very much, it was boring. You know, they really didn't get into a lot. They focused a lot on how the picture came to be through casting, I found. And it was just a lot of, well, we worked with Tom on Apollo 13, and we were looking for another opportunity, and this came along, and we worked with so-and-so, and we worked with so-and-so. And
it just, the stuff on there, it even seemed a little repetitive in most cases.
Yeah, the topic was always the same, but the names were always different.
Yeah.
The only extra feature on the second disc that I thought was interesting, and that's probably too big a word, was the feature that showed the hints that Ron Howard threw in there as a director towards the aspects of the film, such as the poster of there's a poster at one point next to an elevator that's called The Boy in the Well. And it's a nice little reflection of what Robert Langdon himself went through as a boy.
Oh, see, I never even picked up on that in the movie. So it was great that he could point that out to us.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's like five or six little things like that. None of them are really that obvious. Actually, none of them are obvious unless you are an extreme arts fanatic or anything like that. But it was just neat to see his little kind of codes within the Da Vinci Code, if you will.
Yeah. All right, now, I didn't read the book. You've read the book.
Yes. Actually, before I get into anything else, I will recommend that if you're going to see this movie and you've been interested in reading the book, watch the movie first. Because I watched the movie in theaters, I really enjoyed it, and then I picked up the book several months later. I read the book. I love the book.
And you finished the book, what, a couple of hours before you saw it on DVD?
Exactly. I wanted to make sure I finished the book before I watched it again. So when I watched the DVD, I realized how much more disappointed I was after having read the book. So you folks out there, if you're thinking, well, I want to read the book first, don't. Please don't, because you will ruin your movie experience.
In most cases, that's good advice for any movie.
Yeah,
Lord of the Rings being the exception.
But in this case, it's probably a pretty big punch if you read the book first.
Now, let's talk. The opening of the book says that all the history, all the art, all the names of certain things are all real.
It's fiction based on factual points.
Yes. And I've done some research on the side to look into how much is fact and fiction. And what I've discovered is that there's only two things that are actually 100% factual.
As far as combining
Fact and fiction, between blurring the lines. So I'm going to recommend that if you're interested in what this is portraying, that you go out and you do a little research for yourself and find out what is really fact and fiction. Because he does an excellent job of taking a fictional storyline and blending it in with certain facts, but taking, you know, artistic
license.
Yeah, using artistic license to make the story flow.
To meld them together.
Yes.
Yeah. And Dan Brown, the writer of the book, he freely is outspoken about it is a work of fiction, folks.
Yes.
And I think he actually encourages people to get out there and do the research if they want to know the real truths.
Yes.
So
the two things that I discovered that are 100% actually right are the Priory of Sion.
They existed,
but the date he said they started is about 800 years off.
Artistic license. The movie wouldn't have been as interesting.
Oh, there's actually three things, because there was the Knights Templar, they did exist, and Opus Dei, but they are not the same as he depicted them in the book. That's where he used artistic licensing. Like most movies, you know, if you go back and you look at End of Days, for example. End of Days, you know, they have that Opus Dei crazy going, trying to kill the woman. I can't remember the whole story, it's been so long, but... You know what I mean? It's just using that thing. Now, I'll tell you right now, folks, I'm a Christian, and this movie did offend me with what it said. But that being said, I did enjoy the movie because it made me do that research, and I learned more about my faith in the last 3 days than I have in the past 5 years that I've been a Christian.
Well, I think that's one of the great things about the material in this movie and book is that it challenges people. And I find that a lot of people are... They really like to be set in their ways. They kind of have these blinders on when it comes to spirituality, whatever it be. If they don't believe in a God...
They're pig-headed, that's the best way to put
yeah,
it.
that's the best way to put it. But if they have their blinders on, and it's whether they're atheists or whether they're agnostics or whether they're believers, this kind of material makes you go, okay, wait a minute, why? You know, why do I feel this way? And then it challenges you to research that and try and come to terms with your own beliefs on a larger scale, on a deeper foundation.
Yeah, and probably the biggest problem I have with this movie is people accepting this as fact. It's a work of fiction, and they can't understand that there is a difference between fact and fiction. You know, it's like picking up a history book and reading that Napoleon tried to conquer the world,
yes,
right? And then reading that Napoleon was... really a girl in one textbook and taking that as fact when every other historical document says Napoleon was a man of short stature. But
exactly. And that's why I think Dan Brown has been adamantly outspoken about the fact that it is fiction. You know,
yeah.
Don't take it seriously. It's entertaining, but it's not the Bible. Let's put it that way. You don't have to follow it word for word and believe everything that's said in
no,
the pages.
No, and you know... I've got to admit that I am going to recommend this movie. I recommend you see it, but I'm going to also recommend you do the research. And I recommend that you don't do it on the web, because there's a lot of sites out there that are trying to prove the other side of the coin.
Exactly.
You know, and anybody can take any piece of literature and twist it to be their own words. And if we go back to September 11, all those people taking two of Nostradamus' predictions and trying to make them fit into, look at Nostradamus predicted this. This is the same type of thing. So look at books. Go to libraries. You can look on the web and you will find some factual stuff, but check the references.
I highly recommend this film as well. If you have no intention to do the research, then please just take it as an entertaining couple of hours or almost 3 hours, I think.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it for what it is and not a large-scale redefinition of what life is all about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is a movie, like any other movie. Now, let's jump to our next film, which I think is one of the best films out this year, best-looking films, best-sounding DVDs this year.
You know what? I concur wholeheartedly. When I saw the previews for this, I thought, oh, okay, you know what? Oh, and here's a hint. Here's another animation. Here's another animation. And, you know, the content from the trailer kind of made me go, eh, because it had a lot of cars in it. And I'm not a car guy. So I thought, it's probably not for me.
Okay, we should mention, too, that this is a Disney-Pixar collaboration before Disney bought Pixar.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people were saying, well, Pixar's probably just throwing this out to try to finish their contract and move on.
Okay, here we go. Focus. Speed. I am speed. One winner. 42 losers. I eat losers for breakfast. Breakfast. Maybe I should have had breakfast. A little brekkie could be good for me. No. Stay focused. Speed. I'm faster than fast, quicker than quick. I am lightning.
Hey, Lightning, you ready?
This is a piece of art.
It is incredible.
The storytelling in this movie, it makes you really think, why are we such in a hurry in life?
This film is the perfect allegory for not only you adults out there, but also for the kids.
That's right.
I think this movie can help redefine the nature of society if people look at it, you know,
and
seriously
think about it as we did.
Yeah.
And I'm going to recommend this right now before we even talk the video, the audio, the extras.
Just on the sheer movie, I'm saying go out and buy this.
This is, I'm going to say this right now too, this is the best DVD transfer I've seen this year. It is so beautiful. It's mesmerizing.
It absolutely is.
From everything, like just every little tidbit of detail they put in. It all works. Like, they put in what they call the marbles that come off the tires on the track when they're racing, from, you know, the blimp shots and just everything. It just works.
The textures are absolutely incredible.
It just works. And if you don't know what the story is, I'm going to lay the ground, because there's a lot of people who didn't see this movie.
Well, there's a lot of people who probably don't want to see the movie, and like I did, until I had the chance to sit down and look at the free DVD we got. You know, I was very, very skeptical.
Speaking of which, on Wednesday of this week, we're recording this on a Saturday, we went to Toronto to see a preview of this DVD. We arrived a little bit early and we were able to go through all the extras before anybody else showed up. There's not that many extras on here, surprisingly, but there is one key extra, and that's Mater and the Ghost Light.
Yeah, I was disappointed with the amount of extras on this.
But the quality is decent.
But the quality of several of them makes up for the lack in general.
Yeah, and Mater and the Ghost Light is a new animated short specifically available only on this DVD.
That's correct, and it was done by one of the gentlemen. It was actually directed by one of the gentlemen who has been on the animation team for so long, and this is his directorial debut. And from what he has been able to put together, he's going places.
Definitely, because Jeff and I were the two hardest laughing folk in the room.
Everybody else was giggling. We were outright in tears laughing.
Yeah, I even fell over on the couch I was sitting on, on the 12-foot projection screen and the 7.1 dual subwoofer setup that they presented to us this little tidbit on.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was very nice. And I've actually watched the Ghost Light episode a couple of times now because it's so funny.
I watched it before coming here.
I was going to tell what the story of this is. That's about right. A race car. A rookie race car who's at the top of his game. He's, you know, going to be the first rookie to ever win the Piston Cup, which is what he's after.
It's his life dream.
Yes, and he ends up in we'll call it basically an accident. But it's not, you know, like a vehicle accident that we think something happens and he ends up outside of his transport that carries him. And he ends up in this little town. And because he destroyed the road, they make him fix it. And during his time there, he learns to slow down and appreciate life and finally develops a friendship.
He learns that there can be more in the journey to reaching a goal than there is in the goal itself.
That's right. And the ending of this movie, it's perfect. It really encapsulates what the whole point of the story is. He's just nodding. He doesn't know what else to say. But now let's talk the other extras. They've got the one-man band animated short, which is quite hilarious. I think it won an Academy Award or was nominated for one. I don't remember which. But it's priceless.
It is cute. It's right up there with the old man playing chess with himself on Toy Story, I think it was.
Yeah. Pixar's shorts are always great, and this just shows how good they are. Now, there's one extra on here, the inspiration for Cars. And this is where John Lasseter first got the idea for this. And he took the entire team that was going to animate this movie, and they traveled Route 66 from beginning to end, stopping in every city.
One end to the other. And it really comes to show in the film exactly what they experienced on that trip. Even though you only get a small sample on this this extra, it's incredible how well and how respectful they approached the material of, you know, a dead highway, as
exactly,
it were.
Yes.
Pretty much ghost towns that people can't leave. They just don't have the heart to leave because they have such a grounding, an emotional attachment to their city. And it really comes to show in the film.
Exactly. And there's some deleted scenes. Most of them are hand-drawn animatics. Actually, all of them are.
They're all hand-drawn
animatics. They're all hand-drawing. And there's a couple that actually kind of made their way into the film in a different way.
They were just, the joke worked, but they put it in a different situation.
In a different situation. Yeah. So, you know, nice to see that. And there's one other extra on there that basically just goes through some clips for the film. And
the epilogue.
The epilogue. You know, it has an intro from John Lasseter. And, you know, the one of the groovy parts about the end of this film is the voice talent from previous films returned to do little clips at the end from Toy Car Story.
Yeah, and Monster Truck Incorporated.
That's right, yeah. So, and they throw it all in there, and this is where John Ratzenberger gets to play a little bit. He has some fun. You know, he really is, it seems they've tossed him in every movie, and he really does seem to be the anchor. Every movie he's been in for them has been successful.
And for those of you who don't know who we're talking about the mailman from Cheers.
Cliff. Cliff Clavin.
Yeah. He provided the voice for a lot of supporting roles throughout the years for Pixar. So
yeah, and two of his biggest ones were as the piggy bank
in Toy Story,
and now the Mack truck in Cars.
Yeah. Now that we've talked about the features, let's get into the movie itself and talk. Well, we've kind of already talked about the video quality, but we haven't talked the audio quality. We kind of skipped that.
Let's go to NASCAR because that's what this sounds like.
Actually, you know what? I was watching it, and I thought, man, if only NASCAR sounded this good.
It probably does in HD.
I don't know. I think, I've heard some sports stuff on true HD quality pictures and, feeds, I should say, television feeds, and it astounded me. I think this sounded better than live NASCAR racing, because I don't know how you could get true surround from
You can't exactly drop mics on the track and get it all.
And the beauty is they have it in Dolby Digital 5.1 EX. And I should mention, too, that that extends beyond just the movie and into those extra features.
It does. They put everything in 5.1.
Yeah, the one-man band clip, the Mater and the Ghost Light clip, it's all in Dolby Digital EX 5.1.
Which is probably why there's not a lot of extras on here, because they went all out on this DVD.
Exactly. The quality takes up all of the room, and I congratulate them on that.
Yes, definitely, definitely. If we could make a loud, thunderous applause, we'll insert a clip. That's what we'll do. We'll just find a clip of people clapping and throw it in. They deserve all around for the movie, for the DVD, for the presentation, for everything on this movie, they deserve a round of applause, a loud round of applause.
I can't wait till this comes out in a high-definition format, whether it's HD, DVD, or Blu-ray. Because of the larger capacity, they're probably just going to bombard us with extra features and still have the quality, actually better quality.
Better quality. And that's hard to believe, because this looked, to me, as good as my experience with HD, DVD, and Blu-ray earlier this year.
Wow.
Wow. That's all we can say. So we're recommending both of the movies we've covered today. The Da Vinci Code is recommended, but make sure you take it as fiction and not fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're both saying. And Cars is a definite owner. If you do not have this one and you're thinking, put it on your Christmas list.
Yeah, with both of these films, I would just like to say that take them for entertainment value, and you can even look deeper behind what they represent. There can be more than just the film experience.
That's and right. These both extend beyond the film experience because they put certain emotions into you to either seek out more information or to realize that we're going through life too quick and we really need to slow down.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that myself, especially with two young children. You know, I don't want to miss them growing up. I got to slow down. Don't worry, we're not going to stop the podcast anytime soon.
Yeah. So that's the main reason why both of these titles get a solid 9 crave factor for me. And I had to say that because not too many films will get that high on our little meter.
See, I got to give Da Vinci a little lower score, even though I'm recommending it. I'd probably give it a 7, maybe a 6 because it's full screen.
Okay, you know what? I'll change that. I give Da Vinci an 8. I give the book a 9.
And I give Cars for the movie and the presentation a 10, a 9 because of the lack of extras.
Yeah.
And that's it. But fantastic. You know, not much more we can say, I guess. We should just wrap this up, eh?
That's it, folks. 2 great titles, one from Disney Pixar, one from Sony Pictures.
That's right. So if you want to swing on by the site, let us know if you agree with our opinion, disagree, or what our opinion is, and find out more information. I can point you to some books on the Da Vinci Code because I've read through 2 myself in the last 3 days, and there's hundreds of books out there on the information. Check out our new MySpace page, www.myspace.com/thedvdmarquee. You can email us at thedvdmarquee@gmail.com. And of course, swing by the site, www.thedvdmarquee.com. Did you get all that? You can play it back if you didn't.
That's the beauty of digital media. You can stop and rewind. And we should also mention, too, we've completely forgot to mention the release dates.
That's right. November 14th for...
The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code and November 7th. No, November. Good thing I can focus today, people. So November 7th for Cars. So it's going to be out a few days after you listen to this. Or maybe a couple days after if you're a little slow getting to it. Thanks to the Home Theater Forum and iCraveDVD.com. And Jeff, anything else? That's it, eh? Stay tuned for our next show.
Stay tuned for the next show, folks.
Coming up in a couple of weeks.
Keep on listening.
And we's out of here. Ka-chow!
And we're clear.
All right.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.